Grateful for what he has established that lets us carry this forward today, even in.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, let me just tell our viewers who may not have seen you in our last program. Jimmy is, first of all, I guess a Baptist preacher, and he's not ashamed to wear that moniker. But he's also a prophecy, I'd say something of a real expert, if such a thing there be. But he's really devoted himself to the prophetic study of God's Word, particularly about the return of Christ, the events leading up to it. But beyond that, he is a journalist, credentialed, and has been so credentialed in the city of Jerusalem, which I understand from some of your biography is the second most number of journalists in any one city in the world.
That is, isn't that an interesting fact, Kevin?
It is.
The number one city of journalistic coverage is Washington, D.C., of course.
Yes.
But Jerusalem is number two.
Fascinating.
There are more journalists in Jerusalem than any other city in the world except for Washington. I believe those journalists have an idea there's something going to happen there, and they want to be there to cover it.
And they're fulfilling prophecy whether they know it or not, because Jerusalem is the apple of his eye.
It is the apple of his eye, Zechariah chapter 2. You know what is so interesting to me? I wanted to go into Israel as a missionary. I wanted to try to relate the Messiah, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
To the Jewish people. But they would not allow me to come in as a missionary. And so the Lord has his plan far beyond any idea that I may have had how to do it.
That's right.
And so he said, hey, DeYoung, I didn't make an audible voice,
sure.
But as I prayed through and thought, he said, you've been a journalist for a number of years. You studied journalism in university. Why don't you go in as a journalist? So I made application to see if I could get credentials as a journalist. They gave me those credentials, which then gave me a visa to be able to stay in the land. And so we were able to get that journalistic credential and go in the land. I've got to tell you, Kevin, my ideas of what I was going to do when I got to Israel, they are insignificant as
Amen.
To what the Lord had planned. Because as a journalist, a credentialed journalist, it gave me access. For example, we came into the land back in 1991. During the time when the Scuds were coming in from Iraq, 39 Scuds. I was there for all 39 Scud attacks. And what would happen was, in between those Scud attacks, the United States would send over, for example, James Baker, who was Secretary of
Sure.
State at that point in time. He was dispatched by the president to come over there and to tell the Jewish people, do not return attack to Iraq. We will deal with Iraq. You sit here and take those 39 Scud attacks.
Yeah.
Now, how ridiculous was that? But we were allowed then to cover all of that. When James Baker would be there, he'd hold a press conference along with the leadership of Israel at that time. Judy and I, both credentialed journalists, my wife and myself, we could go into that meeting. And then when Lawrence Eagleburger took over as Secretary of State and James Baker went as Chief of Staff at the White House, we were able to cover him. Also, during that time period, Yasser Arafat was at his ultimate as it relates to what would be taking place among the Palestinian people, and ultimately he would go to the White House in 1993 for the purpose of signing a peace treaty between the Palestinian people and the Israeli people, the Oslo Accords. And so we were there, and I had opportunity to interview Yasser Arafat. At the same time, King Hussein was there appearing with Yasser Arafat. What a distinction between the two. King Hussein,
sure.
He was small in stature, but big in his authoritative appearance as he stood there, immaculately dressed. And here's Yasser Arafat with his military uniform, scuffy beard on his face. And I'm not a mystic. I'm not some kind of charismatic guy, but I could see Satan in his eyes.
Wow.
I mean, he was just so full of Satan, and Satan was using him. But the comparison helped me to recognize that. So we were able
Remarkable.
To meet with him. All the different prime ministers, since I got there in 91, have had opportunity. Met with Benjamin Netanyahu 3 different times. This has been something amazing to me, how the Lord opened the doors. Now, I have done a recent documentary. It's entitled President's Politics and Prophecy. And it's looking at the political leaders in the United States for the last 45 years, seven presidents from Jimmy Carter to Donald Trump. And we might want to talk about that a bit later. But I've had opportunity to meet with many of them as well over the years. And I have seen, as I've observed what they're doing, these leaders, political leaders, have been making political decisions to set the prophetic scenario that is found in God's Word in place. And I started studying the Word of God, and I was back studying the book of Revelation. I've taught it so many times, but I continue. I probably read Revelation over 700 times, maybe taught it 500 times, but I continue to study.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, Kevin. It happened to me when I was in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, and I came to a verse, and I read that verse, and I said, wow. Why haven't I seen that before?
Wow.
Now, I've already read the book 700 times, and I didn't recognize the power of that verse. I was reading chapter 17 and verse 17, where it's talking about, let me give the context of chapter 17. It's the prophecy for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period. And in that first 3.5 years, Antichrist is going to be headquartered in the city of Rome, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you read through chapter 17, it says in verse 9, a seven-hilled city. We'd have to recognize, scholarship would indicate, that is Rome, Italy.
Right.
And what's going to be in charge at that point in time in Rome is going to be a one-world false religiosity. The word whore is used 3 times. The word harlot is used 1 time in that chapter. And that's an apocalyptic phrase, apocalyptic coming from the Greek word apocalypsis, which means to reveal, to foretell, to make known, to prophesy. And it's talking about this false church because, you see, a whore or a harlot is the opposite of the chastened virgin bride of Christ,
right,
which Jesus will be married to during the tribulation period. So I'm reading that in the context. I also see in verse 10 of chapter 17, the seven horns of Daniel, and that would be Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 11 also, and in the book of Revelation in chapter 13, the 10 horns, and chapter 17, the 10 horns, and my study, I'll take a shortcut here because
sure.
of the time, my study would indicate that's the revived Roman Empire. I hope you see the scene. We're in Rome, Italy. It's the next most important prophetic city in all of the world. The Antichrist is going to be there, ruling and controlling. By the way, he's referred to as the beast. That word used 8 times in chapter 17, the Antichrist. Remember chapter 13, verse 1, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. It's talking about the Antichrist. So he's going to rule over this one-world false religiosity in Rome, Italy. But also he has revived the Roman Empire, his political operation, and he's in charge of that as well. In fact, the Antichrist, who we're talking about, comes out of that revived Roman Empire to come to power. And so I'm reading down there, and in verse 16, it says that the Antichrist destroys this false
right.
church. Now, he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to go there and desecrate the temple. But before that happens, we read verse 17, and that's the verse that jumped up in my face and grabbed me. It says this, and he shall put in the hearts of those world leaders to fulfill his will. And the he is God the Father, Jesus the Son. They will put into the leadership, the political leadership there in Rome, the desire to fulfill his will by destruction of this false religiosity. They'll destroy it. You know what's so exciting to me to recognize that? Again, that's the reason I did this documentary in
right.
Washington. Presidents will make political decisions to set prophecy in place. Now, that particular principle is applicable across the world. As we look, we see different world leaders, political leaders, making political decisions to set prophecy in place. And most recently, for example,
yep.
Donald Trump made a decision about Jerusalem. He made the decision that Jerusalem was the political capital of the Jewish people. He made that decision
right.
December 6, 2017. But on February the 23rd, let me tell you what he did. He also said they're going to move the U.S. Embassy out of Tel Aviv into Jerusalem On the 14th of May in 2018, which is the actual 70th anniversary of the Jewish State of Israel.
Yes.
How amazing. The world went crazy when he said Jerusalem was the political capital of the Jewish people. I have not been able to gather together all that they have said since he said we're going to move that embassy.
It's erupted.
It's crazy.
And you were telling me just recently, maybe within the last week, that there's been a response from the Jewish leaders that are preparing for the temple about a shekel. Tell us.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
This is unbelievable.
It is amazing. And again, it has President Trump making a political decision about the city of Jerusalem, about the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv being moved into Jerusalem. Those two political decisions have set prophecy in place like never before. I think the last time we were here, we talked about the significance of the city of Jerusalem.
Yes.
It was a president making a political decision that set those prophecies in place to be fulfilled. What happened was the Sanhedrin, now that's the 70 wise Jewish scholars. Remember way back in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, Moses selected 70 wise scholars to assist him in making decisions after the Lord had directed him. That became the Sanhedrin. At the time of Jesus Christ, these 70 wise Jewish scholars were the ones who administered the temple. They're the ones who selected the high priest to be the leader at the temple itself. They were just key players. And in fact, it was ultimately the Sanhedrin that sentenced Christ to the cross and led him out to the location where he's going to be crucified. They disappeared for about 1,400 years. But about 5 years ago, they resurfaced and they came back together. Today, the Sanhedrin, which is a court of Jewish wise scholars, is recognized by the judicial system of Israel. And they issued, within the last 2 weeks, they have issued a unbelievable silver half shekel. Now, let me tell you why that's amazing, for several reasons. Number one, that is the temple tax. When a male Jew would go up to the temple, he had to have this silver half shekel to give it as a payment in tax for going to the temple. And so that's now in place. That's a part of the preparations to build the next temple.
That will help fund it, will it not?
Will help fund it also up until that time. And all of these things coming together at this time in history because a president made a political decision. Because of that political decision by President Trump, this half shekel was issued. And it has two sides on it, of course. On one side was the temple. They wanted to honor the temple, as you say, raise the funds to rebuild that temple. On the other side of that half shekel were two profiles. One of them was of the historic man Cyrus. He was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. Ezra chapter 1. God selected him. The prophet Isaiah told us about that, Isaiah 44 and 45. That the man Cyrus, and he even named a man 100 years before the fact, who would allow the Jews to go back into Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. He contributed to that. He selected Zerubbabel. He let the Jews, about 50,000 of them, Ezra chapter 2, go back to rebuild the temple. Chapter 6 of Ezra, they had rebuilt the temple. They had the dedicatory service.
Right.
And so they have a profile of King Cyrus on this silver half shekel. And then superimposed over that, they have a profile of President Donald Trump because of his decisions on Jerusalem.
You know, there were those that compared him to Cyrus even before this coin was issued.
For another reason, ultimately.
Right.
But because of Cyrus and Cyrus's love for the Lord, and number one, obeying him, and then for the Jewish people and allowing them to go back, that's why they honor him. And, of course, the Sanhedrin believes that Donald Trump is a modern-day Cyrus from that time in history. Of course, remember, Medo-Persian Empire, Persia is modern-day Iran. And, by the way, the Medes of that Medo-Persian Empire, they're the Kurds of today. And they are the fiercest fighters in the Middle East. So
what I've heard.
What goes around comes around, and that's exactly what God is doing today. Again, because of political leaders making political decisions to set prophecy in place.
This is amazing. We're visiting with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and just want to tell you, we are offering some of his material. There are several DVDs and We'll put those up on the screen. But the two I have before me, one a DVD and the other an enlarged CD teaching on it. Presidents, Politics, and Prophecy. He referred to this a moment ago. This is a DVD presentation. And this CD set actually contains many volumes from, I guess, Jimmy Carter all the way through Donald Trump, every president. And we'll talk in a few moments about some observations that are here. But you can see on your screen the pricing. And as always, you can go to our website, prophecyinthenews.com, and go to the bookstore online. It's safe, it's secure, it's easy. Or you can call the 800 number on your screen and place your order, and someone will assist you with that. Well, let me just ask you, that I'm still shaking my head over the shekel with Donald Trump's image on it. But in this particular approach, you know, Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. That's obviously true. But when you take the U.S. presidency, you are, in our lifetime anyway, talking about the leader of the world, really. I mean, as goes the U.S., so goes the world. And spiritually, Jerusalem has a role to play as well. But you've looked at each of these presidents. What would someone expect to find when they delved into this material?
Kevin, the reason I got into this was because, of course, my recognizing the power in that verse in Revelation 17:17.
Right.
And the Lord put in the hearts of political leaders to fulfill his will. In 1976, I ran for United States Congress in upstate New York. Now, I did not win, of course. If I had to have won, I would have been president today. But humbly speaking, of course.
Yes.
But Jimmy Carter was running for president of the United States at that time. Now, I wasn't much concerned about what Jimmy Carter was doing because I wanted to win my congressional race. But a couple of years before that, I had met with Jimmy Carter. I was the vice president of a broadcasting company in South Georgia. Jimmy, of course, up the road about 45 miles there in Plains, Georgia, called me up one day because of me being an influence center, because of the radio station and the talk program I did. He wanted to come and meet with me and give me some of his political background.
Now, was he already the governor?
He was not the governor. He was getting ready to run for governor. Okay. That was his first step, and he wanted to get me to back him. Now, I have to tell you this. Politically, I did not back Jimmy Carter, but I happen to believe that he was a born-again Christian. I heard him give me a clear testimony. I just believe he did not study the Word of God thoroughly to understand the truths of God's Word and then make them applicable to what he was doing as president. That being said, he made some very important political decisions.
Oh my, yes.
And I want to tell you something. On this DVD, I refer to the time when I was at the White House as a journalist covering Jimmy Carter. I was at the White House when a group of Iranian radicals demonstrated outside. The reason they were demonstrating...
We're just going to pause and pray for the dare to share, but I did look at that shekel. By the way, you can Google it, and you can see that it is an active thing, and I thought, well, if President Trump gets impeached here, he can run for office in Israel. I think they love him more over there. But it's pretty sad, but this is exciting stuff. Let's pray. Father, we just want to pause again to take the time for the dare to share, and we believe that there are a lot of people across our country right now that are praying as well, and we just commit it to you. We pray that you would prepare the hearts of each of the kids we're going to go, bless the teams in all the different states, all the different locations as they prepare, as they pray, and as they look forward to the 13th, Lord, that lives would be changed. And again, as we said, we're not looking for this to be an event. We're looking forward to being movement, that what happens on the 13th will train the kids for the 14th. And when they go back to school on the 15th, that they would be excited about sharing simply the gospel with their friends. And we pray, Lord, for many. We believe there's going to be a lot of kids there who don't know you. At least that's our past experience. A lot of kids are invited who have no idea about church, religion, and don't really care about it. But we're looking forward to them not coming to a religion, but coming into a relationship. And we just look forward to that day. Again, bathe it with prayer, Lord. Just help us to understand that every great movement in the past has been founded on praying to you. And we just commit that to you. Bless the remainder of our time now in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Shah of Iran was inside the White House having a visit with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was not satisfied with the Shah of Iran, and because of that, he was telling the Shah, we're going to have all relationships broken between the United States and Iran. You're going to have to do it on your own. No more foreign funding. We're just going to break all relationship. They did that. And I want to tell you, when I saw what happened next, they took down the Shah of Iran. You know who they replaced him with? Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. Yeah. And Iran became an Islamic republic, the center of the Islamic faith. Jimmy Carter made a political decision to set prophecy in place. He awoken the Islamic world. Now, they've been around. They've been around for thousands of years. But wait a minute. They weren't who they are today at that point in time. And when the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini came into Tehran, he decided to establish an Islamic Republic. He decided they wanted to be controlling the entire world. They have an eschatology. They are the Shiite Muslims. And he has an eschatology that Iran was going to be the leadership of the Islamic world. That's what he put in place. So it was a president making a political decision to set prophecy in place. I've got to also remind everybody, it was Jimmy Carter who brought Menachem Begin and King Anwar Sadat from out of Egypt together at Camp David, and they put together the Camp David Accord.
Right.
Now the Bible says in the book of Daniel 9:27, there's going to be a peace treaty that will be confirmed. Actually, there are three peace treaties on the table. Jimmy Carter was responsible for the Camp David Accords, a peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. That was the first peace treaty. Later on, another president, Bill Clinton, who, I don't know if you know this or not, 24 times President Bill Clinton during his 8 years invited Yasser Arafat to the White House.
I didn't know that.
That's three times more than any world leader he had to visit him in his 8 years at the White House. This was not a world leader, Yasser Arafat. He was the head of a murderous terrorist organization.
That's right.
But ultimately, Bill Clinton came together and put together the Oslo Accords. And that was a meeting at the White House when Yasser Arafat, along with Yitzhak Rabin, Prime Minister of Israel, these two men came together. They signed that accord called the Oslo Accords, a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinian people. And then the next year, in 94, and I was at this peace treaty signing, it was in the Arava, the southern part of the Jordan Valley, there just before you come to the Red Sea in southern Israel. And King Hussein came over with his politicos. Yitzhak Rabin, again, Prime Minister of Israel, they came together, and there was Bill Clinton, and they signed a peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. I have a copy of that in my briefcase here. That peace treaty is the third peace treaty. All these peace treaties on the table today between Israel and their neighbors, they have never been normalized. They are not working. They're waiting for confirmation. And Daniel 9:27 says, that's exactly what the Antichrist will do, will confirm those treaties. Now, you're talking about political leaders, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, making political decisions to set prophecy in place. And so this documentary that we've done, you were talking about a moment ago, Presidents, Politics, and Prophecy, I started when I understood what the book of Revelation 17:17 was talking about, the purpose being that indeed political leaders would make political decisions, and they were doing this because the Lord put it in their heart. Lost or saved, it doesn't matter. He would put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And as I went through the seven presidents over the last 45 or 50 years, from Jimmy Carter all the way to the man who's our president today, Donald Trump, I have seen what they've done. Remember how Ronald Reagan turned the world upside down with six words? Remember those words? He's standing at the Brandenburg Gate there in Germany. And he stood up and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. Six words. That was in 1987. In 89, the wall came down. The Eastern Bloc countries collapsed from the Soviet Union. They went to the European Union. In 1991, then the Soviet Union fell apart, and Boris Yeltsin came to power. From that point on, till 1999, he controlled the Russian Republic, which had been the old Soviet Union. He brought onto his staff during those years a man who was a vice mayor over in St. Petersburg, Russia, young man, very sharp in political activities, a KGB background. He brought him on staff, and in 1999, Boris Yeltsin decided to resign, and he appointed this young man. Oh, by the way, that young man's name, Vladimir Putin, who became president of Russia. And we know the rest of that story and what's going on today. A political leader making a political decision to set prophecy in place. It's amazing. I could deal with every single president I have in this DVD documentary and in the CD. That's the reason it's 10 different CDs in there. I have to deal with all the seven presidents and preliminary information and post-information as well. But it's amazing to see. Everybody asked me the question, why does this president make this decision? Why does that world leader make that decision? Because God has put in their
That's
heart
right.
to fulfill his will. So political leaders will make political decisions to set prophecy in place.
Well, we just have, fleeting minutes here, but what do you make at this point of the Russian footprint in Syria to the north of Israel now, and the fact that the United States is there and Russia is actually there, and it's a powder keg.
You've got to remember what Ronald Reagan did, tear that wall down, Mr. Gorbachev, with ultimately the fall of communism and the appearance of Vladimir Putin. There's going to be two major players in the end time when we move into the 7-year tribulation period. European Union, which I believe is the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire, and then Russia will lead a coalition of nations against the Jewish state of Israel to wipe them off the face of the earth. Let me tell you some of those players. Russia, Iran, Syria, Turkey. Have you paid attention?
Yes.
Those are the nations that are in modern-day Syria. And when you go to chapter 11 of the book of Daniel, starting in verse 40, you'll see that the first nation that makes a move against the Jewish state, when this coalition, this alignment of nations come together to wipe out Israel, the first nation to make their move will be Syria, and the leadership will be Russia and Iran, Ezekiel 38:5, which is referred to as Persia,
right.
A main leader. So what's happening in Syria today is so significant,
indeed.
And it has to make me believe we're at the point when that is going to happen, and it happens. This coalition of nations attacks Israel after the rapture of the church, when the people are on this earth are into the tribulation period. That's how close we are.
Oh, my.
Because political decisions were made by political leaders to set prophecy in place.
Wow. We've been talking with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and folks, we are on the edge. If you can't sense that, if you don't sense and feel that in your spirit, you're sleeping, because the Lord is hastening the day of his return.
Amen.
And we are ready. We even so come quickly,
Amen.
Lord Jesus. We've been talking with Jimmy DeYoung, and we want you to know this great God. If you don't know him, he is coming back to rule as the King of Kings and Lord of
Amen.
Lords. And he's coming the second time as judge and ruler. He came the first time as a Savior who offered his life on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead to give us everlasting life. If you don't know him, call on his name. Receive his forgiveness and everlasting life. Jesus is coming back, and we are going to keep looking up for that day.
At Booking.com, we can't guarantee you'll find gold on your Wild West vacation.
Just so you know, my wife asked me last week, are we going to watch videos the whole time? I said, no, we're just watching those two parts. Next week, we're going to be looking at some different things in the news. Beginning next week and the following Sunday, we're going to be looking at what role, if any, does America have in the end times? So come out and probably do that in about 2 weeks. We'll give you the reason some people believe America will be here and they're going to have a significant role. I think we'll disprove those. I think America is not going to be around during the end times. But let me just clarify before we even go any further, is the second coming of Christ means when he comes to rule in the temple. The rapture is first. Okay, that's not the second coming of Christ. When Christians are taken up, that's the rapture. Christ never sets his feet on the earth. We meet him in the air. So that will be a 7-year period. The rapture takes us up, And then after that, the second coming of Christ, when we come with him to rule. So there's that seven-year span in there. So think, isn't that exciting to think how close it is when you hear about all the stuff that that's happening in Israel and Syria and all the stuff that we see about in the news and kind of roll our eyes and kind of get discouraged about. That's all part of God's prophecy, and it's got to take place, but the end is near.